it's showing you, it's counting.
Okay.
Seconds, so.
All right. Hi, my name is Monica, and I am a very grateful alcoholic. Can everybody hear? All right. So, like I said, I am from Arizona. I am originally from here, and Razor's Edge was my home group when I was pretending to be sober. My last run lasted 34 years. The last 20 years of my drinking and drugging career, I did not draw a sober breath. I was the alcoholic addict that balanced, you know, and was able to maintain a life, go to work every day, because if I had enough alcohol, I didn't need the drugs. If I had enough drugs, I didn't need the alcohol. I remember being at a dinner one night, and a friend asked if every drug was laid out on the table except for my drug of choice, would I use them? And I said, yeah, of course I would. You know, I'm a garbage can. Didn't matter if my drug of choice wasn't there. I wanted whatever would help me escape who I was. So that's how I lived my life. You know, I had three personalities. I had the personality I went to work with, I had the personality I showed to people, and then I had that personality at home where I suffered every day of my life. So I started the program in 2016 because my partner had a problem. I didn't. He was an alcoholic, he had a problem. I was on methadone, I was fixing my problem. I was okay. You know, I didn't need to drink the way he drank. You know, I aligned myself with people that were just a shade darker than me so that I could always be in the spotlight of being good. I functioned, I went to work, I paid the bills. You know, he was the one with the problem. They were the ones with the problem. You know, so I never had to recognize that I truly was that problem. So for years, I just, you know, sat on the outside of this program. You know, that's what I did. I sat on the outside. I had an amazing sponsor that knew I wasn't ready. You know, and I love her for that. You know, I love her for the space that she gave me so that I could develop the way that I needed to, and that's exactly what she did. You know, I sat on the outside and you guys planted seeds within me. You planted seeds of this program, you planted seeds of keep coming back, you planted seeds of fellowship and hope. I didn't know it then because I was demanding how you threw that lifeline to me. I wasn't ready to grab it, so I demanded how you threw it, and when you didn't throw it the way I wanted, it was you. You didn't help me. You didn't do it the way I wanted to. So it gave me that back pocket resentment so I could keep drinking and using. And that's what I did. I had decks of back pocket resentments that I didn't know were back pocket resentments until I thoroughly did these steps. You know, I hit a point in 2020. You know, life had just come to a head and I decided to go to rehab. And in rehab, that's when I learned that I was the problem, that drugs and alcohol weren't. But I still wasn't ready to deal with the problem. So I spent 2 more years descending to hell. And that's exactly where my addiction and my disease took me. We're straight to the gates of hell. Before I left Wisconsin, I didn't know what I was doing. I really didn't. I was so insane. I sold everything. I got rid of everything. I sold my house. I packed up a U-Haul shipping container with my personal possessions. I bought a camper. I loaded up my 4 dogs and my cat, and I drove 2,000 miles cross country because I had hope that something was going to be different. Something was just going to be different. You know, my sister lived there, and she gave me a safe place to finish dying because that's what happened. For another year, I didn't know what was wrong with me. You know, my disease told me that I was a drug addict. It didn't tell me I was an alcoholic. You know, it was really cunning, baffling, and powerful. It was so cunning, baffling, and powerful. It told me I was a drug addict. You know, and I didn't understand why I could not put down that bottle. I didn't understand it. I didn't get it. And so on November 23rd of 2022, I tried to commit suicide. And God said no. No matter how hard I tried to overdose, it wouldn't work. I spent 10 hours in a hotel room insane, trying to die, and it wouldn't work. I begged him to let me go because I just couldn't do it anymore. I called in sick to work so I could commit suicide. That was my thought pattern. I couldn't work anymore. That was the only thing I had left. If I went to work, I was okay. I couldn't go to work anymore, so I had to end my life because I didn't know what to do. The following day, on the 24th, when I realized that I was going to be stuck in my body if I didn't get help, I called my therapist and I said, I think I need help now. That's all I could say is I think I need help. The next day, I spent a long time in the ER because I was pretty sick when I got there. They sent me to the hospital and I did my little grippy sock vacation. And that night when I was laying in my hospital bed, I told God I just didn't have the strength to fight anymore. I said, I just can't do it anymore. I just don't have the strength. And I felt something. I felt him reach in me and remove the compulsion to drink and drug. I left the hospital and I've never had the desire to pick up a drink or a drug again. I spent the next 8 months in intense trauma therapy, twice a week, going to 2, 3, 4 meetings a day. That's all I could do. And not once through trauma therapy and dealing with the wreckage of my past and what was done to me, did I feel the compulsion to pick up a drink or a drug. It was the most freeing feeling I've ever had in my life. You know, and because I was such an alcoholic, I've been to over 365 meetings in 365 days. I have listened to so many stories and so many shares that I'm able to track back that I was an alcoholic long before I picked up a drink or a drug. I was alcoholic with candy. You give me 25 cents, I'd run to that corner store, I'd give as much candy as I could, I'd eat it as fast as I could, I'd throw up and I'd do it again. I was alcoholic long before I ever picked up a drink or a drug. And I'm able to trace that back. So I can unequivocally say that I am the problem. I am the problem, and not one human possession, not one human desire will ever fill that God-sized hole within me. I'm a spiritual being living a human experience, so my human will never be satisfied, and I learned that. I learned that because my drug addiction, my disease took me so far to the gates of hell that I know that I will never satisfy the human within me, and that I can only satisfy the spirit. And that's coming to these rooms, that's being a part of. Wanting to be removed from life my entire life, now I crave to be a part of. I crave to be a part of this fellowship. I crave to be a part of life. I get to wake up every single day and live God's design for me. I tried to paint my life every day I would try to paint my life, you know, and I did an okay job. You know, I had a good life. I had a decent life. But my design was always flawed. As soon as I dropped that paintbrush, took my hands off the wheel and said, all right, God, what you got for me? I wake up every day with a grateful heart. First thing, thank you. Thank you for another day to serve you. That's what I get to do. And being of service means so much more than just coming to a meeting, sharing, doing, you know, the GSR, all of that. You know, sharing, it's really just everything that I do every day. You know, sending a text out when somebody's on my mind, that's service. You know, just picking up a piece of garbage that somebody threw on the ground, that's service. You know, it's that heart of service that's released me from the bondage. That free will that, you know, I was free will, right? Everybody wants it. I can do what I want, right? That free will was the bondage. Bound me so tight, you know? And as soon as I said, I don't want it, you know, like, I don't want it. What you got for me? I live this really free life. You know, again, I've moved to Arizona. I'm a ranch hand, you know? I get to wake up every day and watch the sunrise and I get to scratch a mule's ass. That's really what I get to do, you know? And then at night I get to watch the sunset and do it all over again. You know, that's the very beautiful, simple life that God's gifted me. You know, I have an amazing home group. My AACA lineage, I do practice AA down there. But I also share at CMA, Crystal Meth, huge down there. I share at CA, I share at HA, because I'm a garbage can. It didn't matter. I didn't care what it was, I wanted it. You know, my drug of choice was just more. I'm pretty sure there's a few of you in here. More. That was it. I didn't care what it was. I just wanted more, mm-hmm. you know, and it's such a freedom, you know, being able to like wake up, you know, I mean, I drove cross country, you know, and now I get to drive my daughter, my stepdaughter back home. Now, this is a child that I used to have Narcan on hand for, you know, routinely. She called me a healthy parent. I'm now a healthy parent to her, and I can be an example of what this program and what trusting God can do for you. You know, and I get to take a vacation with her, leaving a bad relationship, and I get to let her decompress as we travel another 2,000 miles cross country. You know, and she gets to see the sights, and we get to have a sober vacation. We've never done anything sober together. It's all our lives, you know, and these are the gifts that have been given to me because I made a decision to turn my will and my life over to the care of God as I understand them, praying only for the knowledge of His will for me and the power to carry that out. My third step's a little different. So keep coming back, you guys. If you're struggling, it really does work. There is great fellowship here if you're looking for it. And when you do choose to grab onto that lifeline, you're not going to care what's on it. You're just going to want to get in that boat and dry off. So keep coming back.